You're listening to SBS News.
Iran has acknowledged for the first time that it had supplied Moscow with a small number of drones, but says they were sent before the war in Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky dismissed Iran's claims of limited supplies, saying Ukraine had downed 11 drones on Friday alone.
By the way, official Iranian representatives have released a statement today. They have decided to admit that they did supply drones for Russian terror. But they were lying in this recognition as well. We are shooting down at least 10 Iranian drones daily, while the Iranian regime claims that it allegedly provided few of them before the start of the full-scale invasion. Only during one day yesterday, 11 Shahed were destroyed.
Mr. Zelensky says the world needs to investigate the alliance between Iran and Russia.
We know for certain that Iranian instructors have been teaching the Russian terrorists how to use drones, and Tehran is completely silent about it. If Iran continues to lie about the obvious, it means that the world will put even more efforts to investigate the terrorist cooperation between the Russian and Iranian regimes and what Russia pays Iran for such cooperation. In the modern world, there will be no such thing as terrorists or their accomplices going unpunished.
In recent weeks, Ukraine has reported a surge in drone attacks on civilian infrastructure, notably targeting power stations and dams using Iranian-made Shahed 136 drones. Russia denies its forces have used Iranian drones to attack Ukraine. Mr. Zelensky also hailed work to continue grain exports from Ukrainian ports, despite Russia briefly suspending its participation in a UN-brokered shipping agreement.
With the example of the grain export initiative, we showed that the world is capable of guaranteeing stability despite any threats posed by Russia. The world did not succumb to Russian blackmail. Key actors acted decisively, and as a result, the aggravation of the food crisis was avoided. This is one of the most significant international results of the entire autumn. When the world is united, terrorists don't stand a chance.
This comes as German Chancellor Olaf Scholz calls on Russia to clearly declare it will not use nuclear weapons during the war in Ukraine. Mr. Scholz says Russia should be ready to disavow the unacceptable use of nuclear arms.
Wir machen uns nichts vor. Russland ist und bleibt eine
We are not kidding ourselves. Russia is and remains a great military power. And Russia has nuclear weapons. But that is precisely why it is very, very important that we say, it is not allowed, it is unacceptable to use nuclear weapons in this conflict. We call on Russia to clearly state that it will not do this. There will be a limit that must not be crossed.
Das wäre eine Grenze, die nicht überschritten werden darf.
Several hundred Ukrainians and Iranians in German exile joined forces to take part in a freedom march in the western German city of Cologne. The protest, which organizers had hoped would attract some 10,000 supporters, was organized by the German-Ukrainian Blue-Yellow Cross Association and a group of Iranians. Protester Lili Amini says she and others were demonstrating for freedom and human rights across the world.
What's interesting is that my mother is Ukrainian and my father is Iranian. We are demonstrating for freedom and human rights across the world and that we can live together with love and without wars. This world belongs to all of us and we should live with each other peacefully. And freedom for women in Iran.
Tens of thousands of people also took to the streets of Rome to call for a ceasefire in Ukraine, peace negotiations, and the dismantling of nuclear arsenals. The front line of Ukraine's besieged eastern city of Bakhmut is now the most intense front of the war, the city's vice mayor, Alexander Marchenko, says.
According to the general staff, the Bakhmut front line is the most intense in the country. Unfortunately, the enemy is trying to storm the city from several directions. There is ongoing fighting on the outskirts of the city.
The mayor says there have been more than 100 civilian deaths in Bakhmut since hostilities began.
Unfortunately, every day we have
Ukrainian armed forces are firmly holding the front line and are not allowing the enemy to advance deeper and enter the city. Unfortunately, there are dead and wounded civilians every day. 7 people were wounded yesterday, and 1 person died, unfortunately. Since the active fighting started in our community, we have had more than 120 civilian deaths, and these are the ones we know. There are districts where we don't know the exact number of people killed, because active fighting is ongoing there, or the settlements are temporarily occupied by Russian forces.
Russian forces have repeatedly launched attacks against Bakhmut and nearby Avdiivka in the Donetsk region, but are being pushed back with what Kyiv says are heavy losses. In Izium in the Kharkiv region, people queued to give DNA samples to identify if any of those found buried in mass graves are related to them. The DNA laboratory was set up with the help of the French government. Anna Sokova, a local resident, came with hopes to identify her brother and give him a proper burial.
I will find and bury him. I will do a church service. I will put a cross on him. May he forgive me.
The Kharkiv prosecutor's office spokesman Dmitry Chubenko says more than 450 bodies were found in one grave.
We found 450 bodies in the most numerous grave site in Izium. We have data about most of them. We consult with the burial journal. But this information is not accurate, because situations occur when there should have been a woman, but the man was buried instead, or there should have been one person, but there were 3 people buried instead.
Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.